So we back again, another episode.
We here.
A bunch of shit happened since our last episode that went up. You're gonna get the episode next week of a Kylo and everyone else in it. That'll be the Kylo's first one.
Yeah, I forgot that one.
I haven't posted it because last weekend we were in New Mexico.
Yeah,
and so I lost track of all time when we were over there, but that was fun. Got to see Ahmed's birthday passed. Your birthday passed since the last one we posted.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys old men now.
No, you're still older than us. The elder statesman.
No, I just saw all of Ahmed's posts. He's like, I'm not 30. Stop calling me 30. Yeah.
Pejos, his friend, was doing that, so everyone was like, you're 30?
Yeah, so protests broke out. Some riots broke out.
Mm-hmm.
Some looting. Like, full-on, like, complete 180. Just to add more to, like, 2020 and what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
I'm on probation now. Officially.
Congrats.
So, yeah.
Happy for you. You came a long way.
Yeah, that
shit. We talked about it. You know, you came a long way. Way to persevere and fight through and get through that, you know?
Yeah, so I want to start off with that. And then go into mistakes and then kind of like what's been going on this year. So, obviously, like I said, I'm off probation. I served a year's time on probation. And what I learned from that was, mistakes happen, you know. Obviously, like, whatever's happened, you can't undo it.
Right.
You know, whatever you say, whatever you do, it's happened, you can't undo what has happened. But you can change moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, I had to do intent classes, I had to put interlock in my car, I read up on a bunch of other stuff, on like DUIs and like how people perceive those DUIs. Like, I've seen both sides of it now. You know, before, so I was like, those people are stupid. Why would they make that choice? And now I'm like, damn, like, I didn't necessarily make the choice to get behind the wheel because I don't remember that. You know, like, I remember coming out of it and going, why am I behind the wheel? I should not be behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and slamming on the brakes. And the first thing I thought about it when I hit like another car was, I think I might have done some serious injury to that person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go over there. Like, the first thing I did was, I remember a guy shining a camera with a light in the window, and he's like yelling at me. He's like, stay there, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I'm like, get the fuck out of my way. Like, my first reaction is to see, like, what the other person is like. And he wouldn't let me, and he was, like, being, like, super angry about it. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm not going to do anything before I make matters worse.
Mm-hmm.
Phone was broken. Like, I couldn't contact anyone. Car wouldn't move, so I knew how much, like, how bad, like, I did it. And when they eventually, like, took me out of the car and, like, moved me towards the ambulance, like, I looked over there and I saw the person standing up and kind of, like, rubbing your neck. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, they're not dead. They have minor injuries at that, you know. But I was like, that was, like, a huge relief off me, because if I killed someone, like, that'd be a completely different story. Yeah.
Definitely.
So that whole process, I've already explained like what I went through after that. Moving on to the court date, you know, it's a lot of anxiety, it's a lot of fear, because I don't know what's gonna happen, I don't know what I'm gonna be charged with, you know. But I was just truthful about everything, and I, you know, explained everything to everyone, you know, like that it's not a thing that I do all the time.
Right.
You know, me getting that drunk doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
You know, it was, if it did happen, it was very, very rare. Like, maybe once, twice a year at that. You know, a lot of times on the person's like, no, I'm good. Like, I shouldn't have anymore. So mm-hmm. It's like, it's really tough. I explained that to them, and then they're like, you know what? He's been honest. He's been truthful. He's been here. Like, we'll knock off a bunch of shit. So I was like, all right, cool. So I had a family member pass away. I paid off all my court fees with that inheritance money. So I got no inheritance money, basically. All that went to court fees. I didn't even actually pay it all off. I paid some to my cousin, and then She paid a lot of it. I took the money that was going to go to my car and paid it all off with the person that I bought it from. So it was like, yeah, I got no money out of that, but I didn't have any debt out of that. So that was good. I went to classes. I met a lady, goes by the name Miss K. She's super cool. She's an older lady, and she just tells it like it is.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you're a fucking idiot. Like, don't do this shit. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what I need to hear, you know? So she was really cool. She helped me out. She hooked me up with a broker, got me on better insurance than I probably would have found. She's like, if this doesn't happen, talk to these people. If this doesn't happen, talk to these people. And I'm like, cool, because I'm getting no information because I didn't have a lawyer. I didn't have anyone else to, like, really reach out to.
Right.
A bunch of people were like, yeah, call this lawyer. Like, they'll get your sentence down. And I was like, I got off pretty good considering. So my probation officer wasn't the best, but she helped bypass a bunch of stuff that I didn't have to do. So June 3rd was this past week, and that was my last day. Like, I don't have to do anything else. Like, everything's done.
Dope.
According to the courts, cool. You know, I have to do interlock still, obviously, for 2 years. It's supposed to be from June 3rd, so technically I've done a year already, but the DMV may see something different. So in December, I'm going to talk with them to see if I can get it taken away, because from January 3rd up until December 3rd, I didn't have a car. So I put in a note saying that I don't have interlock, but this is a note saying I don't have a car to put interlock in, so I shouldn't have to do it because I wasn't driving.
Right.
So hopefully by then they'll be able to take all that off. So hopefully in December it'll be a year and a half and I'll say, hey, look, I've been good. Please take interlock off my car. Because that shit's like $83 a month to have it in my car.
That's and it ridiculous. Sucked.
And like the worst part about it is that if my car gets stolen, they understand that and it's fine. If something happens to it, like, I'm responsible for it. So if someone else drunk goes behind the wheel and like blows on it, I get charged with that. The only way I don't get charged is if, like, obviously, like, you know, my car got stolen or something else happened. So it was like, fuck, like, there's so many things. Like, yeah, like, if it breaks, it's your fault. You have to call someone to come out to fix it because you can't drive your car over there because you need to blow into it for it to start. And I'm like, right. Are you serious? And they go, yeah, it's a bunch of shit. And so it's more of a hassle than anything. I get why it's there. I understand it, but it's such a hassle. It sucks. So I just got to deal with that. Once that's done, then it's just, you know, another 6 years on my record that it's going to be on there for, because it stays on your record for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get another DUI, then it's like, this is your second one, you know, now it's like really fucked up. So,
right.
Obviously that's not the plan, to get another one, you know, but it is what it is. I understand it's like that. I have a lot more respect for people that have gone through it and like understand it, because like I said, I sat in classes with them, you know, and I talked with them and I discussed with them, you know, in a civil manner about everything and like what they went through. And like some of the stuff was like, not saying any names, obviously, but one guy called his wife to come down to pick him up, turned the wife away, and then decided to drive. And then he got a DUI for that.
Wow.
And I was like, that's worse than mine. Like, you called someone, they were there, you told them to go away because you wanted to continue drinking, and then like, fuck. And there was,
yeah,
like,
that's fucked up.
I met like a pretty famous artist, you know, which was crazy. He was really cool, and he was telling me about, like, he's like, yeah, I just got wine drunk and drove my car, and yep, that's what happened. And I was like, fuck,
like, that's crazy.
So, but yeah, so like, and it can happen to anyone, you know, and it's one of those like, you don't want to consider that yourself, like, it's never going to happen to me, because it could happen to you, because right. I was like that person, you know. So like, obviously now I'm more aware of it, and like, I'm like, hey, just be safe, don't make the mistake I made, you know, because your outcome may not be as good as mine, and may be worse than mine, you know, because killing yourself is not as bad as killing someone else.
No, absolutely, you know? I totally agree.
And so the mistakes with that, obviously, I'm going to carry with that. being off alcohol for a year has changed all that. So now I have to find, like, if I do want to drink again, like, I have to find that, like, medium, how much I can drink, like, going back and forth. So that's a struggle in itself. Obviously, I'm not going to be drinking for, you know, a while because the bars aren't open and everything, and I'm not a fan of drinking by myself. But moving forward, like, it's not one of those things where it's like, I'm never going to stop drinking. It's like, no, I'm going to be a lot more cautious of, like, how much I drink and, like, who I'm drinking with. You know, like, it's like I might have one drink and go, nope, it's not worth it to me, because I've already put myself, my family, and my friends through all of that. So mistakes happen.
Yeah.
You know, everything happens for a reason. Would I go back and change it? No. Like, I've met the people I've met, and I've, you know, experienced the things I've needed to experience by going through that, you know, and me changing something in my past might affect who I'm talking to now, you know, might affect how people see me now, you know, because, like you said, like, it was hard. Like, I still went out, like, people go, oh, you want a drink? And I go, no, I'm good, you know, and I had to say that for a year, you know, and it's something that when you talk with people about not drinking, it's always like, why don't you want a drink? You know, whereas opposed to if I say, no, I don't want any cake, it's like, okay, cool.
Right.
Like, that's it. Like, it's there's like no
a social thing.
Yeah, there's no more rebuttal or anything else after that. So that was, like, really hard. So there's still a lot of people that don't know that I got a DUI.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not because I'm trying to hide it for them. It's because, like, they don't need to know that much about my life. If they want to, they can listen to the podcast. You know, it's on there.
Yeah.
I already talked about it. But I'm not going to go, like, oh, by the way, I have a DUI. Oh, by the way, I have a DUI.
Right.
Hey, before we start talking, I got a DUI. Like, no, they don't need to know that much about me. If they ask about it, you know, they, like, prior into it, like, yeah, I'll tell them. But I'm not going to sit there and, like, say it to every single person. Because to me, that sounds like the person that's like, I'm a vegan, by the way. Oh, did you know I'm vegan? Like, come on, man. Like, we get it. Okay. You know, you don't need to tell me every 5 seconds.
Right.
You know, like, just, if it comes up, okay, cool. That's it. Like, I don't need to know anything past that. If you want to tell me more, cool. But you don't need to. And that's how I feel like it is about DUIs. Because, like I said earlier, when I blow into the interlock, like, it's embarrassing sometimes, you know, because I can't start my car until I blow into it. So I have to sit there and wait, you know, for it to say, okay, go ahead. And then I have to blow into it, you know, and then put it down and wait for a beep to give me a clear. And then I could start my car. You know, especially, like, driving around, it's like, it'll beep, and I'm like, fuck, let me stop what I'm, like, doing, like, talking and blow into this, you know, put it back down. So, like, it's just, it's a hassle more than anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, but mistakes happen, things happen. I'm hoping that because of this now, like, I can move forward with my life, you know, my whole family's supporting me, and they're like, you're done, you did what you need to do, don't make the mistake again, because, you know, we're not going to be as supportive, but you know, congratulations on, you know, finishing it. Just be smart. Yep, you're right. So, moving on from that, what did I say the next topic was?
I completely forgot. Me too.
Well, let's talk about the mistakes of people and kind of everything else going on.
Like, regarding what?
Like, the Black Lives Matter. Like, do you want to touch on that?
Like, you said the mistakes they're making?
Yeah, okay, so there's a lot of people now that are kind of backtracking on what they said, you know, during the time of Colin Kaepernick, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people now that are, like, changing their narrative. There's a lot of people now that are saying, oh, I've been supportive the whole time, you know, when we all know that's not the case.
Right.
You know, to understand someone is to, like, listen to the story, you know, and hear it through their perspective,
right.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That can be said about elders. That can be said about, you know, people that went to war, people that experienced other cultures, you know, whatever it is. You know, we as a society we talk to react. We don't talk to listen and engage, you know. And so now, like, in this day and age, we have, you know, like I said, when we were in New Mexico, all this shit broke out, you know, for sure. Basically the minute we got to New Mexico, like, this shit all broke out. And, you know, it was weird because it's like, I see it happening, but it didn't really hit until we got back, you know, and we were driving up and we couldn't get through downtown because all the protesters were there. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is a real thing right now. Right. You know, like, it felt weird, even though it's happening everywhere. You know, we attended a protest today, you know, and a lot of it, like, you know, we were talking about before, kind of felt forced. And it didn't feel like a natural thing, you know. You can always tell when something's natural and you can always tell when something's forced. When someone forces an apology, you know it's a forced apology.
Right.
You know, i.e. all those, you know, white people that say a racial remark and get called out on and they lose, like, their job, their friends, or whatever it is, you know, and they go, I didn't mean it to sound racist. Like, you definitely made it to sound racist. You know, you made a joke because you thought it was funny and it was a racial joke and you knew that, you know, but you said it anyway and you said to post it. And now that you're getting called out on, now you're trying to backtrack so that way people see you in a better light.
Absolutely.
You know, we see it hundreds and hundreds of times, you know. And so it's tough now because now that we have influencers in this day and age, you got people that, like, will pose for pictures, you know. People that would say, yeah, I was there at the rally. You know, I'm holding my fist up. It's like, okay, but you're posing in that. You're not focused on the movement. You're focused on that camera in that one spot to make yourself look good, you know, or whatever it is. Like, it doesn't always mean that you're standing up for the message, you know. And I feel like a lot of this in, like, a year's time is going to kind of be pushed under the rug, you know. And it sucks because, as someone that's Hispanic, like, I understand to a certain degree what the Black community goes through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get racially profiled also, you know, when I do stuff. Maybe not to the extent as, you know, you or any one of the guys, you know, but I still get that, you know. Yeah. I still get some form of it. So it's like, no, I know what they're talking about because that shit sucks. I don't want to be in that position.
Right.
You know, I've been called a racial slur to my face, you know, by someone that wasn't Hispanic, you know. And it's like, when someone's your race and they call you that, like, it hits differently than when someone's not your race, you know.
Yeah.
And you won't understand that until you're that person, you know. For some people, they'll never understand it,
right?
Because that's just the way it is. So I think the point I'm trying to make is, how do you feel about what happened with Colin Kaepernick? That was, like, 2016, right?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
So we're talking, like, 4 years from then, roughly. Like, how do you feel, like, people handling it then and handling it now are, like, different and the same?
Well, I think people are handling it the way so they can perceive as a good person, in a sense. Because back in the day when Colin Kaepernick did all that, they try to change the narrative and say, it's, you know, you're disrespecting the flag, you're disrespecting the military, which was not true. It was just like, how am I going to, you know, stand for this flag when America is not giving me that same, you know, being free as, you know, the Constitution says and everything like that. So why should I stand for this if I'm not getting those same rights as other people? So I'm going to kneel. So people thought, oh, like, you're disrespectful. Like, we had that conversation with one guy when we went to a party, and he thought, oh, he's being disrespectful towards the military. Or, oh, yeah, like, he's being disrespectful towards America. And I'm like, yeah, he is, kind of, because he feels like he's not part of America because he's not getting the same rights, mm-hmm. you know. And I feel like people, like, whenever that happened, it was more acceptable to say, to oppose to all that. But now, because of all this mass, you know, killings of Blacks who are innocent, and you can see it, like, you know, George Floyd, like, he literally was helpless, and you could have stopped that. Like, you could have stopped that. So when Black people saw that, they got outraged and started tearing up shit. So I feel like white people's like, ooh, I don't want them thinking that I'm like opposite of them or anything like that. Or they're saying, or they said to themselves, they finally got what we've been trying to do all this time. And I don't know whose motive, like which one has each motive, but I do know is that this is a good step in the right direction, you know. Even though, like you said, when we went to the rally, it felt forced, didn't feel like authentic. And you can feel that definitely. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, at the end of this year, what's going to happen? Are we going to have mass changings that's going to help every single color in America? Or is it going to be the same shit? And people are going to forget about this in about 2 or 3 months and go back to their normal lives and not help out the black community or any other community that is non-white and say, okay, like, let's get where we're actually equal on every single platform. You know, you need to make sure that everyone has equal opportunity in everything, you know? And I saw one thing, this video where a guy was in the front and he was saying statements. He said, step up if you are with the
college statement kids in a line, yeah. You know, and he's talking about diversity, yeah. And
so
everything.
He kept doing that, and most of the people were black in the back. And to fast forward to the end, they made them race. And it shows how black people are at a disadvantage, you know, on every, you know, every, almost every level, like working, just social wise, as far as, you know, just being free and being able to do a lot of things out there.
Can I add context to that video that you were talking about? So, I think it's called like the $100 race. So he's like, in my hand is $100.
I just saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, so in my hand is $100, and I saw this like years ago.
Yeah.
Because like obviously this message has been going around for years. Like this isn't anything new. This isn't anything that came up overnight. You know, we've all been dealing with this. Just it's at a higher platform now. So he holds up $100, and he has a bunch of college students lined up on a line. And he goes, in my hand is $100, and the first person to take it, like it's theirs. He's like, but here's the catch. I'm going to stand all the way over here, and I'm going to say something, and if it applies to you, you take a step forward, you know. And first he's like, if your parents have ever helped you, you know, with, like, funding for something, take a step forward, you know. And, like, near the end of, like, how many things he's saying, like, you start to notice, like, the gap of the people. So, like, the people in the back were minorities or people that, you know, mainly people of color that, you know, didn't have it. It's like, if you had two working parents, you know, if your parents cared about, like, your things, like, if your parents were discriminated against, like, you know, and, like, every single time they said something, it's like, yeah, like, we're still standing here, like, we didn't have those options. And you notice more and more white people go up to the front, to, like, the point where you see, like, 5 white people in the front, like, you know, a bunch of people in the middle, and then all the black people in the back, or I would say people of color, mainly, you know. And then he says, go, and it does an aerial view, and it shows you, like, you know, how many people get up to the front, you know. And then at the end of it, he goes, everyone is running the same race, but some people are at different starting points for that race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a people of color, we're obviously at a disadvantage from everyone that's white.
Yeah.
You know, and what I really think sparked all of this was the fact that COVID has shut down basically nightlife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more people that are staying at home, right? The way George Floyd died, he said, I can't breathe, which is how, what's his name? I can't think of it. He was the one selling cigarettes.
Yeah, I know.
He said he couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And he died. It's the exact same way, black man with a cop being choked out or, you know, essentially crushed this time.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing has happened. You know, it's just administrative leave, or they're fired and they go to another, you know, state or whatever it is, and they get hired as a cop there. So it was just a combination of like everything, and it leads up to this, and it sucks, you know, like seeing more people die every day on the news to the point where it's just like it was numb to us.
Yeah.
Right. Like in the beginning, it was like, "Do you see this person died?" Oh yeah. Now it's like, I'm just gonna keep scrolling. You know, like I'm already gonna assume they already saw it. There's no need to bring it up.
Right.
Another person died in a senseless act. There's no reason for it. Even the white guy that was in the hallway of like the hotel with his hands up, and he was like, "Don't shoot, please, please don't shoot." And they shot him. Like, people stood up for him, you know, and like members of certain white communities were like, "Well, you didn't say anything about that." It's like, we did, you know, we talked about police and justice. It doesn't apply just to black people all the time. You know, there's plenty of other people. There's plenty of videos of Hispanics dying. There's plenty of videos of Asians. There's plenty of videos of white people. You know, it's the fact that we're talking about this, you know, but you're not seeing that. You're just seeing black and white, you know, like the movement is
black. There's other races, but black is like a ridiculous amount. Like,
yeah.
It's like overbearing compared to other races. Like I saw a video, this girl was calling out her parents who are racist, and she was giving them facts, and the mom brought up how there's been more white police killings. They've killed more white people. Well, police has killed more white people than black people. But she didn't recognize that white people is almost 80% of the country. So
right, right.
That's not gonna correlate, because of course there's more white people who've been killed by the police, but there's also far more white people here than black people. So there's been 23% black people who've been killed by the police. So that is a crazy amount.
Right. That's like
23%.
100 people.
Yeah.
Right. Let's say 20% of those are minorities.
Yeah.
Right. We're not going to use black, white, or whatever. I think
we should.
Okay, fine. We'll say 20% are black.
Okay.
Okay. 80% are white.
Yeah.
Okay. The police killed 4 people. 4 black people, 4 white people. All right. The police killed an equal number, but it's not an equal number, because now there's only 16 black people left, you know, and what, 76 white people?
Right.
Like the, like you said, the numbers don't correlate. It's yeah. not the same amount. It doesn't mean anything when you look at it in that perspective.
Yeah.
You know, if you just show the number 4 white people, 4 black people, then you go, oh man, that sucks. Like, but it's equal. It's like, well, when you look at how many people there are, it's like, it's not equal. It's the right. same thing I said when COVID was here too. Like, it's like, oh, there's 1,000 deaths. Okay, but how many of those people are already sick, you know, exactly. are on their way out? Or how many people are, like, at really old age, yeah. you know, versus how many young people? Like, that number is not the same.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's... people just aren't getting the message, you know? And it's tough because I don't know how many more times we can explain it. You know, it's been explained left, right, forward, backwards, upside down, you know? Yeah. Like, in your face... like away, you know, it's been talked about so many times. It's been talked about like when Tupac was around. It's been talked about when MLK was around, you know, it's been talked about before them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's getting louder and louder and louder and louder to the point where it's like, now we have video evidence, you know, to the point where some people are still defending like an officer going, well, he shouldn't have been doing anything. That's why he wouldn't have gotten killed. Like, that's a human life, regardless right. of, you know, the race, if you want to be like that. But you can't accept the fact that a human life is being taken away, you know.
When it doesn't have to be. Like, he's exactly. not a threat. He's on the ground. Like, he's resisting. He's not resisting arrest. And you're over here with a knee on his throat saying, like, stay down, stay down. Like, he is. And another thing that pisses me off is that it starts in home. It starts at home, and we have a lot of races out there that are not out there. So we think, okay, this guy is just normal. He like fucks, you know. He like fucks with all races, but then in actuality, he's in his house like, fucking spick, fucking nigger, or something like that. It doesn't have to be that extreme, but right. they have stereotypes towards us, and it goes down to the kid. And they had. So I had this one kid at summer camp who's recently talking about George Floyd. So one kid asked, is protest bad? And I said, no, it doesn't have to be. And the kid goes to the other kid, see, like, protest is not bad. But the other kid, he said, but the guy had counterfeit money. So, like, I think he deserved what he got. What kid is thinking that way? No right. kid is freaking thinking that way, saying, well, yeah, counterfeit money, so he should have died. Like, it's obviously being taught, or it's been, he's listening to what his parents are saying mm-hmm. at home, which sucks, you know? And the part of the reason why I do my job, which I work with kids, is I want all races to look at me as a positive influence, especially a black male, you know? So when right. they go out into the real world, they can say that black people are not a threat. Like, I had a great counselor or something like that. Right, I had a great right. teacher where it showed me black people are not a threat. And vice versa, for black kids, I want them to see a positive black male instead of, and it is a stereotype, but most of it is true that we don't have both parents in the house. We don't have a stability in the household. It's always something going on in the household, and we're always probably scrambling to get money. And
but you and I didn't make an excuse for that. Like, our lives, like, statistically, our lives could have been completely different than what they are yeah. based off, like, what it was. Like,
yeah.
you growing up, you know, without your parents, you know, me growing up without my dad,
yeah.
you know, like, statistically, as, like, people of color, like, our lives could have went completely different, and we could have followed different paths, you know. We would have never met. Wouldn't even be a podcast right now. You know, and for all we know, like, I could have been dead somewhere, you could have been dead somewhere, you know, or, like, locked up, or, like, doing something else completely different, you know? Like, there's a lot of different things, but we didn't let that get to us, and I feel like we've done a lot better.
Yeah, and it's a part of it is because the way we were raised, like, the way you talk about your family supports you 100%, even though you didn't have everything you're supposed to have as a childhood, you know? You only had your mom. You know, and then you have other family members that will help you too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that builds your foundation on your mindset of, like, okay, I'm going to get through this.
Right.
Some people don't have that. You know, some people don't have all that. Like, even if they're a single mom, their single mom is out there, like, doing something, doing drugs, selling drugs, like, being, you know, that dangerous act in the household, which is going to not cause stability, which causes that kid to seek out what they're yearning for, you know, in somewhere else. Gang, you know, that's why most people become in gangs, because they want something.
Acceptance.
Yeah, they want that unity, acceptance. They want to say, okay, I belong somewhere.
Right.
You know, they don't want to feel alone in this world. So I feel like us, we had great people, even though we didn't have that, you know, quote unquote household, that perfect household, we had people who helped us
that shape the
mind. Yeah. That believed in us, that shaped the mind, is like, you can get through this. Like, I'm here for you no matter what. So I feel like our situation is like, we had a great foundation. You know, we had people who supported us. Right. A lot of people don't have that. So, and you've seen it, like, you work with kids, like, you've seen kids come to care in the same clothes every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had so many or kids like that.
Starving every day.
Starving. You don't know. Have a lunch. Like,
and sometimes you'll see the parents like, look, I'm really struggling. Like, I'm trying to do this. Right. I'm trying to do that. And you're like, cool, let me help you. You know, and then you see parents like, okay, whatever. You know, like, I've worked with hundreds of different kids. Key ones, you've worked with 100, like, I would even say at this point, thousands of kids, you know.
Definitely thousands.
For as long as, like, we've been doing this, like, we've seen the good, we've seen the bad, you know. I've had to call a social worker, you know, on families because they're not taking care of their kids, you know, and that's, like, it's heartbreaking. I've had kids come up to me and say, if I get taken away from my mom and dad, can you adopt me? Like, I was at 23, and I'm like, I'm really considering adoption right now for this kid, like, because I care about this kid. I had parents talk to me, like, years later, you know, because their kid is doing something because I was such a big influence on their life. Like, one of the kids, so I used to wear my hat up, like, on top of my head I'm showing Kiwan, but
yeah,
like on top of my head, you know, like that, where it would still be on my head, but like the bill would be like kind of facing like off, like almost where, like, what do you call that? Like my hairline, right? And a kid started wearing his hat like that, and she was like, "Why are you wearing your hat like that?" And he's like, "Well, because Mr. Jorge used to wear his hat like that." And she's like, "That's acceptable. I'll let you wear your hat like that." And I was like, that was such a dope thing for me to hear. You know, like, a kid is copying me because he's like, no, he's cool. Because I always, like, I was hard on him a lot. You know, I was like, you can't act this way. It's not okay. Like, you're entitled, you know, you're entitled to feel upset, but you can't take it out on other people.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and it's like, you want to be that message. You want to be the person. So, like, when they look at you, they're not looking at your race. They're looking at you as a person.
Absolutely.
You know, and, like, I feel like that's why I work with kids, because I want those kids to get to a point where it's like, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, like, they don't see color. They just see the person there.
Absolutely. You know? That's the whole goal, you know? And you saw today, like, I showed you the letter, like, of a kid I used to have summer camp with. She, like, is infatuated with me, you know? She, like, I was my normal self, but she, you know, had that connection for some reason, you know? And I love that, because I want her, this kid, to be like, yeah, I don't see race. You know, I had a great counselor, and that's a perfect example. She sends me, like, pen pals, and I am so appreciative about those. I love the letters, even though it's hard for me to get back there. I forget. But I love that. That gives me a gratification. Like, I'm doing something right for at least some of these kids. Right. We're not going to be able to reach out to all of them, because they're so deep in what
they their need parents. Yeah. Professional help, in the sense yeah. that we can't provide it. We're professionals in our profession, but we're not professionals when it comes to certain things. So, and yeah. it's hard to do, because unless you have kids, you won't understand. We don't have kids, you know, but we've worked with kids.
Right.
You know, we've had kids that come in at 6:30 in the morning, and they don't leave until 6, sometimes 7 o'clock at night. You know, I've sat with kids until 8 o'clock, you know, and parents are like, I had to come from across town because I had an interview. And I'm like, yo, it's fine. Like, you know, you don't have to worry about a late fee. Just right. let me know next time. Absolutely. So I can help you. You know, like, your kid's fine. Your kid's happy. Like, I gave him some food, some snacks. You know, we played some games. Like, it's cool, you know. Because at the end of the day, like, I was in daycare, you know. And it was just a bunch of old white people, you know. A bunch of old white ladies. But they were really cool.
Yeah.
And they were like, one of them was like, we're not standing for racism here. And I was like, oh, was that what I was doing? I didn't realize that was a thing, you know. And she was like, it's fine. Now you understand. Are you going to do it again? No. She's like, do you think your friends would like it? No. She's like, cool. I'm like, all right. So that's what racism is. You know, right. like, I learned little stuff from her, and they were, like, really cool, and they helped my mom out. And so, like, I want to be that person for these kids also. And so when it gets back on the topic of kids, like, race obviously gets brought up every now and then, you know, and kids will bring it up, you know, and sometimes kids will come up to you, and they'll grab your skin, and they'll look at it, and they go, your skin is like my skin, you know, and, like, that's when it kind of hits you, like, oh, damn, they really don't understand, like, how deep that goes.
For sure.
You know, like, that's just the tip of the iceberg. But because we're not the parents, we're going, yeah, it is. Isn't that weird? You know, and that's it. That's our conversation. We can't say anything. We can't talk about our politics with the kids. We have to be careful when we talk about religion with the kids. We have to be careful, like, how we teach the kids, you know, because any little thing can come off differently because of how kids word things also, you know. And so, whatever kids come in saying stuff, you know, sometimes we have to talk with the parents. Like, I had a kid that was slapping staff members' asses, female staff members' asses. Oh. And he goes, my dad taught me how to do that. Dad is no longer part of the kid's life at that point, you know. And I had to explain to his mom, you know, like, I sat there and I chewed him out a new one. I was like, that is unacceptable. You cannot do that, you know. And I had to talk with mom, and mom goes, like, yeah, dad's no longer part of his life. He was kind of that person, you know. Like, we stepped away from that. It's like, I will talk with him and try to teach him that. But that was taught to him.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Like, kids don't go around and start doing it. It's like, exactly. Something is taught, like, to them.
They don't come out the womb and, like, I'm a racist. Like, I'm a sexist. I'm judgmental. I'm this. I'm that. And I was telling, I was talking to my girlfriend's roommate, and we were talking about how kids come out so free. They come out blunt. They come out free because they don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So they're just going based off their true emotions. So, you know, we've said this multiple times. Kids has called us out and be like, why do you, A, smell like this? Or why are you acting like this? Why you look really tired? Like, or something like that, which helps us because they're not going to sugarcoat anything.
Why are you tired? Shut up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that to them. But this sounds a wonder.
I know what you're saying. But I'm just saying, like, these kids come out free. Like, mm-hmm. How many times have we seen it where a little kid is like, I want to be a fireman, doctor, etc. You know, I want to be this huge mm-hmm. person. I want to attain this huge goal. And then all of a sudden, I say when they get into middle school is where they start shaping their mindset and start, you know, doing different things because people are telling them what to do. And it could be parents too. At least for me, my parents, well, not my parents, but like people in my family always told me, if you don't make it in basketball, you're not going to do nothing in life. Mm-hmm. Like, that's your one ticket out of here. You know, so in my head, I'm like, are you serious? Like, I have to make it to that. Like, I have to make it to NBA so I can help you guys out or become successful in life. I have to do that. So all in the back of my head, I'm like, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this.
Or I've heard other kids like, you have to play football.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they're maybe not as tall as you. You know, it's like, you're good at running. You're going to do football.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it was like, you have to play soccer.
Right.
And it's like, I don't like soccer that much. I want to do, like, baseball. They're like, well, it's fine, but you have to, like, be really good at that to make it out.
How many times has parents or guardians was like, you're doing this, you're doing this. And let's be, like, sometimes it works. Like, I've heard NBA stories, I've heard NFL stories where their parents was like, you're going to do this, and they made it.
Right.
But I'll say 90 to 95%, those kids are not going to the league.
No.
Okay.
This one's a lot of kids that.
Yeah, like how many kids? Think about it. There's millions on millions of kids. Let's say in the U.S. We don't even talk about the world.
Mm-hmm.
How many parents do you think is forcing their kids to play? A lot, right? So the percentage is going to go down on how many people are going to make it, period. So when you put that in their head that they have to make it in this, now their mind is so narrow-minded where they're like, well, if I don't make it in this, I'm a failure. And I've seen so many where they didn't even, I've seen who didn't even go to a nice college. They didn't even get a scholarship for the sport they wanted to do. So now I see them depressed. Now I see them like going to alcohol or doing something that's detrimental towards their body or life in general because they feel like they're a failure because their parents put in their head, no, you have to make it at this one thing.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what they said, that one thing. Now you're in your head like, fuck, I didn't make it. I'm a failure. And that sucks. And I hate that, you know? And not even talking about race too, but race, like sports, all that. That sucks how parents do that to kids and then the kids suffer the consequences of that. And I just don't like that. I just want, at least for me when I get kids, I'm going to put options out there. Like, of course, like I said, a kid is free. Like, a kid doesn't know what it wants to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put options. Hey, do you want to play this? You want to play this? You want to play this? That's fine.
Do you even want to play sports?
Yeah. Do you even want to play sports? Correct. So what do you like doing? But you're going to put options out there to figure out what they like. If they like something, you're like, okay, we're going to grow with it. I'm going to support you no matter what. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to sit there and like, no, you're going to do this. If you don't do this, you're a failure. Like, I heard that so many times and that sucked. So, and then eventually when I was my senior year, I was like, I'm not a fucking failure because I didn't want to play basketball anymore. Like, I'm enjoying my life outside of basketball. That's telling me something. That's what I told in my head. Like, why am I enjoying that? Like, not playing basketball so much. Why am I enjoying not going to practice? When back in the day, I used to enjoy going to practice. I used to enjoy going to games and playing. So you can't tell me that I have to do this one thing, you know? But that's my little rant. But I'm just saying.
For some of you that don't understand, Kiwon's really good at basketball. Like, I've talked to
him. Could have been good. I could have been good. Okay. I didn't work hard because at the time, I was fucking...
Let's say at the time, because I've talked with, you know, obviously the guys.
Yeah.
And I've talked with other people that have known you in the past. They're like, yo, if Kiwon kept going with it, no doubt he would have won an NBA.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I mean, you were on a winning team, you know? Like, the way the game was played at the time, like, as opposed to it is now, like, I think now you probably would have done a lot better. You might have liked it more, but at the time it was like, your height was like a factor for you to play something else that you didn't like, you know.
I didn't like. So I knew, like, you have that feeling too. You play sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know how your game is. So you can't tell me to play one way when I know I can help out in so many different aspects of the game. So I feel like I'm literally walking with one arm and saying, okay, I'm playing with one arm, basically.
Yeah.
Because I had so many aspects of my game, and I knew if someone could hone that in and, like, scratch the surface and keep digging, they were going to find a diamond. And thinking back on it, and I knew that for a fact. If someone was like, no, we're going to make sure he knows how to do everything. Dribble, shoot, handle it. Like, if someone was like that to me, then I feel like I could have done it. Plus, if someone had put that in my mind, because I had a passive mindset. I had, well, okay, fine. Like, I guess I'll do that. If I had the mindset I have now, I probably could have done it anyway, you know, without mm-hmm. anyone's help, because I would have been like, fuck that. Like, I know how good I am. Like, right. I know if I hone my skills and do all the things I know I can do, I'm going to be great. But listening to parents, listening to coaches saying, you need to do this one thing, or you need to do this one thing in the whole sport in general, like, that limits your mind and that exceeds it where you're becoming greater than you think you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just staying at this at platform. Like, you're just staying at this level right here because you think, oh, like, there's no higher, you know, that's all I can do anyway.
I mean, as someone that plays sports, like, obviously the minute I hit high school, they're like, nope, that's your cap. Like, you can't go beyond that. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, I'm the fastest on the team.
Exactly.
Like, no one beats me in speed, whether it's stealing bases because I can read the pitchers, you know, or tracking down a ball. I can get to it the fastest. Nobody else can do that. It's like, and you're telling me there's a cap? There's people that are better than me on the team, but they're not faster than me on the team.
Right.
My speed has to account for something. And they go, well, soccer you really excel at. And I was like, okay, but that's not, like, my main goal exactly. that I want to play. I'm good at soccer.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I can play the game. You know, Kiwon's seen me, like, kick a few soccer balls a couple times, you know, and it's, like, a pretty good accuracy considering I haven't played in years.
Yeah.
You know, but you've also seen me play softball, and it's, like, I have a decent arm. I have a good bat. Like, right. I had, like, a glove, and, like, I can play. So it was just frustrating because they're like, no, you're going to play outfield. It's, like, but I can play shortstop.
You know,
my arm isn't as strong as some of these other guys that are better at outfield. I'm really good at shortstop.
Right.
I can make those throws, you know, and they're like, nope, you can't because of your height and your speed. Like, you're better suited for the outfield because you can track down the ball faster. I was like, I don't want to play outfield. My arm isn't as strong as, like, what it was, you know, because I hurt it. Like, yeah. I can't do it. So that made me frustrated too.
Did you have the same mindset as me, like a passive, or did you actually express what you were saying now?
I did express it, but I was always shut down. And because my grandpa didn't want to, like, go too much into it because he didn't want to be the parent that was going to the coach and was like, let my kid play this position. you know, he's like, you got to earn it. You got to show them, you know. And so, like, when I did get those chances to show them, the coaches were like, you're good, but we got to give it to the main person. So you're going to go play, you know, the outfield still. So I was starting outfield, but I wanted to play starting shortstop. But the problem is that shortstop was only good at shortstop. So he was like, we can only do this. Yeah. You know, and I've been on winning teams, you know. I played on a traveling soccer team too. Like, I know what it's like, and I know what it is to, like, help out and contribute to the team. But it's like you said, like, sometimes I didn't feel like I was playing at my maximum potential. You know, I felt like I could do a lot more. It felt like if I was in that position, my whole attitude to the game would be a lot different.
Absolutely.
And I could help out more. Like,
absolutely.
They only saw, like, they only scratched the surface and said, like, yeah, that's good enough. You know, when it's like, yeah, but if you polish the rest of it, like, it's going to be so much more brighter. You know, so it was frustrating in that sense, you know, and that's why I play softball now. And, like, now that we're all, like, adults over there, I'm like, I only play infield. Like, I don't play outfield. If you need an outfielder, like, you're going to have to find someone else.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, okay, we'll work this out. You know, I'm like, I put in the work and I show them. They're like, yep, no, that's our shortstop.
Right.
You know, I have a team that I play with that's like, that's our shortstop, no matter what, you know. And it's like, those guys are really cool. And I have other people I play with and they go, well, this is the better shortstop. You know, we're going to throw you on second. That's cool. That's still infield.
Right.
Like, I can work with that. Yep, he's better than me, you know, but I'll be right there to assist him, you know. And so it's tough, you know, because I don't have the same problem as you when it came to, like, sports. Like, I didn't have the height, you know. I was short, so, like, I was always the underdog when it came to stuff. Like, if we were playing soccer, they go, Jorge, go guard Kiwan. I'm like, he's a whole foot taller than me. Right. Like, how am I supposed to compete with that? And they're right. They're like, you're going to have to figure it out, or you're going to have to find another team type of shit. And I was like, fuck, they're really going to have to make me work for this, you know? And so, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going to fucking, like, I was like, I'm going to beat his ass down. Like, I'm going to run him into the ground, you know? I'm going to play aggressive and all that, you know, to the point where he's going to be like, damn, I beat him, but fuck.
You made it tough for me.
Yeah. And that's, like, that's the mindset I went into every single time. So that kind of helped me, but I never felt motivated to do the extra work because, like I said, when it came to speed, I was already the fastest. So I didn't have anyone to, like, go against to try to be faster than. Like, even people that were, like, catching up to me, I would put in, like, a little bit of work, and then, like, the gap would just widen again to where it was. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, still slower than me. Doesn't matter. So it's like I didn't have that drive. If I was on a different team, if I, like, really pursued college, you know, and went out for that baseball team, you know, I probably would have said, damn. You know, because the gap would have been bigger then. I would have went, damn, I'm not at their level. I might as well give up, you know. So it was tough. My grandpa was the kind of person that went, he's still alive, by the way. I know I said that weird. But he's the kind of person that kind of went, you know, if you don't put the work in, like, you're not going to get it. You know, whatever sport you want to play, that's fine. But you got to finish that season, you know. Like, don't listen to anyone else. Like, you need to work hard. You need to work on, like, your craft. You need to work on your way of doing things because of your height. Because of your speed, because of, like, your ethnicity, like, it's not going to be the same when it comes to someone else.
Right.
You know, there's always going to be people taller than you. There's always going to be people stronger than you. But it's like, it's how you play. So he's like, I want you to play mind games with these people. I want you to get in their heads. Like, you know, be that person that's, like, throwing them off. Be the underdog. Don't show all your cards until that moment, you know, and then show all your cards. Like, I know the first couple of times, like, I played with you guys when it came to just sports and anything, like, the one or two times I would do something in the beginning, you guys would go, oh, well, that's different. Like, we played a tag game, you know, and I made a move, and I saw you, like, look at me, and your eyes went, oh, shit, I didn't know you could jump that far in the range. Like, let me stretch out further. You still tagged me, but and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot how long he is.
Yeah.
But it was, like, something where, like, that's when people started to realize, things are different. Okay, he's bringing something new to the table, you know. And as kids, like, going back to that whole thing, because that's where it all stemmed from, like, kids see things and do things differently, you know, and parents don't understand that because they only go by what they saw and what they know.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize that their friends are different from them.
Right.
Like, Todd might be able to throw a football, you know, but his neighbor Jerry can't throw a football. He can only throw a baseball, you know. So when his son is coming up and his son can only throw a baseball, he's like, well, no, you got to throw a football. It's like, okay, well, that's not the way he throws. He throws more like a baseball, you know. But because you see you're athletic and your neighbor's athletic, like, you don't understand the difference mechanics between throwing the two.
Right.
Like, how you throw a baseball is not the same way on how you throw a football.
Right.
You know? And just because you can throw a football doesn't mean you can play baseball and vice versa. You know? So, like, maybe they can't even throw a ball because they have their mom's genetics who was more like the art person. You know? And they go, I just want to draw. I can draw really well. It's like,
right.
No, you got to play sports. Like, well, that's not their thing. You know? Like, parents forget that it's yours and your partner's genetics put together. You know, recessive and dominant genes, you know, if you want to be that literal about it, you know, so their eye color, their hair color, their height, their metabolism, how they process things, you know, it's all genetically based.
Yeah.
You know, you can't change it no matter what because that's their genetic makeup.
Oh, for
so
sure.
Their thoughts and everything goes into like what you're teaching them. Like they might be a fan of sports, but they might be shit at sports. You know, or they might not care about sports, but they might be like athletically great at sports, you know,
right.
Like just naturally gifted. And you've seen those people that you play with, you know, you're like, this person's naturally gifted with sports, but because they don't practice, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, and then you see other people like, maybe this ain't your sport, you know, like you're good, but maybe focus on like your sport. That's your passion.
Right.
You know, and that's what parents don't understand. They only go by what they see and what they want. Like, and it's like you said, like, there's so many times where, you know, dads or moms are like, you have to play this sport because your height, like, that's the only sport that's really good for you. You know, where, like, you could easily play baseball, you know, and been, like, a great pitcher.
Right.
Because of, like, your length. Randy Johnson, I think, was, like, 6-something.
That's never been an option, you know.
Right. Well, so, because when it comes to demographics, like, you know,
yeah,
who, basketball and football is for Black people. Soccer and baseball is for Hispanics.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember going, can I play basketball? My grandpa's like, you're too short. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. There's going to be kids that are, like, way taller than you. You're too short. And I was like, damn. Like, I really want to shoot a ball like Kobe Bryant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's how I grew up. Like, I've seen games of Michael. And Michael was, like, a huge, like, oh, damn, Michael Jordan. Like, that's dope. You know? And then I saw Kobe Bryant play. And I was like, wait, I can shoot a fadeaway over people taller than me? Like, I could do that? That's a thing? Like, oh, I want to learn how to do that. And, like,
right.
That's how I modeled my shot after. And then I realized that I was like, man, if I really wanted to, I could have played basketball. Like, I could have made that a thing. And who knows, like, if I practiced it enough, like, I could have
been
at
know.
A certain level.
Like, that's why, like, I love, that's why I was talking about me, is I just wanted to see if I did everything I wanted to do on the court, let's see how far I can go. That's all I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept getting roadblocks because people were like, no, do this. Do that. This is the only thing you should be doing. And to circle this back around, I think it all reflects on family, you know? Like, my uncle and my mom and grandma, they learned stuff from their, you know,
their past.
Yeah, their past. So it's going to trickle down. That's why when I start having kids, I'm going to start something new where they're not going to be super free where, yeah, I just don't want to do that. You know, I believe that you should give them options and see, hey, try this and see how it works. You know, I'm not going to force them, but I'm like, hey, can you just try this and see if you like it? That's what I'm going to be. I'm not going to force them like, no, you're fucking doing this. All right. If they turn out they want to be a fireman, I'm like, oh, dope. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to help you get there. I'm not going to sit there and be like, you should be playing sports. Like, I got.
Should be a lawyer.
Yeah, I should. Shitted on so bad because
that was my grandma. Be
yeah,
a doctor. Doctors get paid more. Yeah, they live less too.
Yeah,
like another 7 years of school. That ain't for me, grandma.
Right. And you're looking like,
I'm like, but I can shoot a movie.
I'm shitting. Yeah. You're shitting on me. You know, you're shitting on me because I don't want to do what you want me to do. And then now you're calling me a bum. Now you're calling me.
Right.
What are you gonna be like in life? If you're not gonna do this.
But
so
it's like what we talked about before, like there's so much more, like, you know, you're way more creative when it comes to skits and everything, you know, than I probably would ever be, you know, unless I really like tried to focus
yeah.
on that, you know. And so like the skits that you post out, like I know some of the listeners have seen it, and like other people have seen it. It's like, those are funny. Like, mom, look what I learned. Like, yeah. Like that shit was hilarious. You know, I was dying from that. You know, and there's like other ones that you put out when you're like, oh, it's kind of chilly outside. Let me go outside. You know, and it's like the heat wave is hitting you.
Yeah.
But like stuff like that, it's funny. You know, whereas for me, it's like I want to take those, you know, shots, photography. You know, and I'll take those photos, and I'm like, yep, this is the photo right here. Like, that's the one you want to post, you know? Yeah. Or like, this is the photo. Like, the Polaroid. I went through $100 roll of film all in New Mexico.
By the way, like, you're getting really good at it. Like, I saw pictures that you gave to my girlfriend Tori and her sister. I was like, oh, these are fire. And the ones that you just did randomly to these girls at Med's party when we were in New Mexico, I was like, she forgot it or she dropped it in the street, and we looked at it. We was like, this girl left this, and it looked really good, you know? So that's what I'm saying, is people don't know what kids can do. You just got to let them choose, give them options, and say, okay, figure out what you like. You know, I'm going to give you sports. I'm also going to give you arts. I'm going to give you whatever you think you want to do. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go from there. Now I'm going to be your backbone, your support system, and say, okay, you want to be an artist? Okay, let's figure out how to be an artist. You want to be an actor? Let's figure out how you can be an actor. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be in sports? Let's figure out how you can be as good as you could possibly be in sports. Instead of like, no, stick to this one thing. You need to be in this one lane. If you don't go in this one lane, you suck in life. You're not going to do anything else.
So what my grandpa used to do is I told him, I missed baseball and soccer signups for high school. And this was like freshman year of high school. I missed it. Like, you know, it's the first year that I've ever like, you guys didn't like sign me up for something, you know? So like, I didn't know I was supposed to sign up. And I was like, but track is going on and I want to do track. I want to do track and field, you know? And he's like, okay, cool. And I was like, oh, I really want those cleats right there. And they're like, you know, $200 cleats. And he's like, we're going to get you $60 cleats. And I was like, $60 cleats? Come on, grandpa. Yeah. Like, and he's like, if you do really well and you want to continue this, then we'll invest in more cleats. But if you don't, then at least we put in like the minimal effort for it. That's and dope. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Dope. Okay. Yeah. And you know, and I did track and I was like, track is fun, but damn, like I'm really capped out on like a bunch of stuff. Like I did the exercises, I did the training, you know, and I really can't, you know, best my speed against certain people. Like they're still topping out at me, right? You know, cause I was like 5'3" freshman year. And no, I was like shorter than that. I was like 5'1" freshman year.
Really? Know?
Racing against people that were 5'8" to 6 feet.
Yeah.
And I was only hitting the middle of the pack. You know, I wasn't last. Not in a 100-meter dash. I wasn't last. I'll tell everyone that. But I was hitting the middle of the pack. You know, and I was like, I can't beat them. And people were going, he's how tall I'm running that fast? Like,
right.
There's no way. And I'm like, but it's not good enough. I can't reach it. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go again for track next year? Or do you want to do baseball? And I was like, I got to go with baseball. And he's like, okay, well, we'll retire your cleats then. You know, baseball, yeah. Like, we'll spend the $100 on the gloves because that's the sport that you, like, went in on. That's, right. Like, what you did. And I was like, that makes sense. Okay, cool. I can do that. Like, now I'm in a position I can go, I can buy a $200 pair of track cleats if I want to. Right. You know, like, I'll go run with those. Use them once. I'm like, yeah, I'm good off that. But at the time, it taught me that, you know, we'll put a little bit of effort in. If you want to do it more, if you think that you can do more in it, yeah, we'll go more into it. You know, and that's what I try to teach parents now. Like, if they're thinking about drawing, just buy them a sketchbook. Sketchbooks exactly. Cost like nothing. Exactly. You know, get them a decent mechanical pencil, you know, or whatever it is, a decent pencil set, like a starter pencil set, and go, here you go. You know, go ahead and try it. If they don't like it, that's fine. You right. Don't feel bad about it because you spent hundreds of dollars on it. You know, if they decide to change, like, it's fine. Like, I bought my first video camera when I was 18. I spent $500 on it. I only used it once to make one video, and that was it. I never used it for anything else, you know, and it sucked because I really wanted to go out and, like, shoot stuff, but I didn't have a car. I didn't have people that, like, wanted to shoot with me because I didn't have people, like, that had the same interest as me. So I didn't get that option, you know, and then obviously, like, as I grew up, I was like, really want to do photography. Like, videos are cool, but, like, I need people to do videos there. Like, it's not going to come out the way I want it to. But photography, like, at least I can, like, change it, and I only need myself to make those adjustments.
Right.
You know? And, like, later on, I can learn more techniques. So, like, yeah, let me start off with, like, a decently good camera and move my way up to, like, you know, a nicer one that, like, maybe you'll see, like, on the sidelines of, like, the NFL or something like that. You know? And so, like, that's my basis for things, because my grandpa taught me that, you know, it's, like, start off here, and if you really like it, you can move up. But if you don't, that's fine, because you only did this, and that's cool. Like, yeah. I bought the Polaroid because I was like, it's a one-shot thing. Like, I can get that shot in. You know, the Polaroids I took in the beginning are nothing like the Polaroids I took in New Mexico, because those came out way better. There's a lot of them. I'm like, oh, damn, this is really good. Like, this one's really good.
Right.
And so it's a thing where it's like, that's how I've taught kids how to do stuff, you know, where it's like, just try it. Go ahead and experience it. If you don't like it, that's fine. At least you can say you tried it. You know, just give it one shot. I want you to give it all for this one shot.
Right.
You know, when it comes to, like, sports, when it comes to art, you know, whatever it is. You know, like, if you see people that are really good, like, my staff member last year is a really great artist. You know, and she, like, doubts herself. She's like, oh, it's not as good as some of these other people. I'm like, but that's your style. Like,
right.
Your style is different from other people.
Right.
7 billion people in the world, and you're telling me not one person's going to like your style? That's ridiculous. Yeah, right. I don't believe that. There's going to be people that believe in you. Like, push your art out. Promote yourself, you know. I will help promote you, too, because I like it, you know. I commissioned her to make art pieces for my friends, you know, for their anniversaries, and like one of them was like, yo, I love this, like, my girlfriend, I, like, they hung it up, you know, and I was like, I'm proud of that, like,
yeah,
like, I paid for that, you know, she drew it and, like, made it for them. They're like, wow, we really love this, this was like a really cool gift that we didn't expect. For one of my other friends, and then they ended up breaking up, and I was like, ugh, I feel kind of bad about that. Didn't mean to do that, but it wasn't because of the picture, it was something else,
obviously.
But it was like, encourage those kids to do more. Encourage the kids to do other stuff. You know, it's the same thing, like, when you're trying to fight racism. Like, that's the same thing. You need to encourage kids to make friends with as many people as possible. Like, and, like, it comes on both sides. Like, there's plenty of, like, Hispanic families that go, we don't talk with the black people. Like, no. Like, then, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like, that makes no sense. Like, Filipinos and Asians.
Goes back to what I said. You're limiting their growth,
their, like, potential. Yes.
So what if that black person helps them succeed in something they want to do? Now they don't have that person, and now they're in this narrow-minded, you know, pathway, saying, well, I can only talk to my race and everything like that. And like you said, I want kids, when they're growing up, to have friends based off character.
Right.
How many times have we had a kid coming to me, this person is being mean to me and I don't like it. Well, why are you hanging out with this person? You know, yeah. Why are you talking to this person? If you feel like you don't deserve that.
It's like, well, I yelled at them first. It's like, so you're the problem.
Yeah.
You're the reason. Like, they don't want to hang out with you because you said something to them. And it's like, well, they have to be my friend. They don't have to be your friend.
They don't have to be your friend. Yeah.
It's like, it goes both ways. Like, right. It's like, you can't get mad at someone. Like, if I called you the N-word, yeah, right? And I go, Kiwan, how come you don't want to hang out with me no more? Like, I thought we were friends. Like, because you're an asshole. Like, I don't want to hang out with you because of that. Like, right. You're using racial slurs with me, you know? And I already told you I'm not cool with that. And, like, you continue to do it, you know? Whereas, like, I'm like, oh, you dumbass. Like, you know, obviously it's, like, in a joking manner. And it's like, okay, yeah, cool. It's fine. Yeah. It's whatever. Like, it's how you're teaching your kids is affecting their life, you know, and that goes up to, like, what we're seeing now. Like, there's kids going into college, there's kids going into, like, other stuff, and they're like, oh, like, what was it? One of them was like, oh, Kaepernick's kneeling on, you know, George Floyd. It's like, don't you find this shit funny? It's like, what? Like, at what point do you find that funny?
Or that, you fucking, know? Did you see that post where it was like 4 white boys and it was different ones?
All doing the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the George Floyd.
Yeah. And like, so it's like,
do you actually think you're going to get away with that? Like, you just saw the uproar and then you do it right
and
after.
And so, like, here's the thing. Like, even parents that don't claim they're racist, don't claim that they're teaching their kids things, like, it's your subtle way of doing things, it's your subtle way of presenting things, because they're going to find people that are like-minded with them, you know. My mom always taught me that, you know, you should base people based off character, you know. So, like, even, like, when it came to dating women, it's like, base them based off the character. So, at the time, you know, I saw something in them that was different, you know, and then somebody would come up to me like, yo, that girl's overweight, and I go, I never even noticed that. That was never even, like, a thing in my head.
Right.
You know, and then somebody else was like, yo, that girl lost a lot of weight. Like, yeah, that didn't even, like, occur to me. Like, right. I didn't see that until, like, you brought that up. Because that wasn't what I was looking at.
Exactly.
You know, I was looking at something else, you know, until you showed me this. That's like saying, you know, it's like, yo, you know your friend Keywan's black, right? It's like, no, yeah, like, I mean, we say this all the time. There's times, like, I forget, like, about each other's heights.
Forget to do that.
You know? Where it's like, I'm like, fuck, I forget until how tall
someone
you are.
Until someone mentions it, and we're like, what are you talking about? And then we're like, oh, yeah.
It's like, I mean, it was like we were in New Mexico, and, like, you grabbed something off the top shelf, and I was like, fuck, he is tall, isn't he?
Yeah.
Shit. Like, I gotta, like, you know, grab the bottom part and pull it down, you know, or, like, jump and, like, grab it at a certain angle, you know, to bring it to myself, and that's normal to me, you know, but for him, he's like, oh, let me just grab this.
Right.
Oh, let me grab this. Oh, there's one way in the back. Let me grab that one. You know, but it's like, it's that stuff that's what you want your kids to, like, feel like, where they don't notice the things, you know.
Right.
Like, the kids I play with when I was a teacher assistant last year, before the whole COVID thing, like, the kids are like, you're my height. And I was like, yeah, but I'm a lot stronger than you. Like, I can throw a football a lot farther than you. Right. I was like, run a route. And he's like, okay, cool. And he ran a route, you know, and it couldn't break away. But they kept running downfield. And I was like, keep going. Like, it's still within my range, you know. And then sure enough, like, I take two steps and just fire it. And the kids are like, that's really far, you know. And, like, I made him catch it, you know, because I put it right in the spot. And all the kids were like, whoa, like, you're that height and you could throw. I'm like, yeah, your height doesn't matter. Like, how strong, like,
at all.
Like, you do stuff. Like, my athletic ability is going to change. I was playing basketball with them, you know, and I did one crossover and the kids were, like, falling over. They're like, you can crossover at that height? I'm like, yes, I can shoot from this range too. Yeah. Like, this is easy to me. Like, things change. Like, don't, like, base it off your height. There was another guy, there was a teacher there that was, he was 6'3", I think. 6'4". He's, like, a little bit shorter than you. You know, but, like, still really tall, you know. Couldn't dunk on, like, a little kid rim. He had trouble on it. He couldn't shoot either. Like, he played basketball, you know, but it was like, that's not the skill level I'm used to seeing, you know. And I was like, I can shoot over him. And they're like, no, you can't. I'm like, yes, I can shoot over him and make it every time. Because I practice against someone that's a lot taller than him, that has more skill than him. You know, like, that's what you have to learn. Like, it doesn't matter your height. It doesn't matter, like, how you, like, view things. Your skin color does not make you better than someone else.
Right.
That's a fact, right? It's a fact in sports. It's a fact in arts. It's a fact, you know, in acting. You know, anywhere you do in life, your skin color does not make you better than someone else. It's your character, and it's how you view things, and it's how much work you put into it. Right? There's been plenty of white artists that have been better than black artists. There's been plenty of black artists that have been better than white artists. And that goes for all spectrums, right? You know, the only difference is the people that were brought up and the people that believed in them at the time to pursue those things, you know? So there's, like, so many, like, different examples of it. And we can go on and on with this forever, you know? And that's the problem. Because, like, we're still arguing about, like, lives matter. All lives matter. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But Black Lives matters just as much as all lives.
Yeah.
We're not saying it matters more. We're not saying it matters less or your life matters less.
How about focusing and saying we actually care about Black lives? Then we can start talking about all lives matter and everything like that. But it's evident. We've seen evidence of them treating us like shit, and you've got it too, of course. I'm not going to be, you know, oblivious about that. But I'm saying, black people of color, we do not get treated the same as white people. If we did, this would not be happening right now.
Right.
And it's small things too. There's, like, millions of cases of how they treat black people. And it's still a slavery mentality without being so blatant about it. So there, I know for a fact there's still banks that are going to turn black people away for loans because they're black. You know,
yeah.
There's cases
based of on where you live, based on like your ethnicity, like everything else goes into it. It's like
I did not know that until I, you know, did some research and read about it, and I'm like, wow. Because
you're not taught it. You're only
exactly
taught, like, and certain things.
That should be a start too. In these schools, they need to have a real African American studies. Not the one that they fixated that makes them look good in this situation. Actually talk about the nitty gritty on like African American studies so people understand our history. So when they're in high school, they understand this was a struggle getting here. You know, this is a struggle getting to this area. You know, they talk about the civil rights movement and everything like that. But there's also other things that they don't talk about. I can't think of it right now. But like there's different things.
Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
Cesar Chavez, for those of you who don't know, started a movement to help farmers, illegal farmers, get some type of rights and like higher pay and all that. MLK actually reached out to Cesar Chavez and went, I like how you're organizing things. Can we talk and make like a connection? So how can I do this too? You know, people don't know about Cesar Chavez that much, you know, because it's Mexican culture. It's like, it's fine. It's the workers, it's the illegals,
right?
You know, whatsoever. Obviously I know about it because those are my people. You know, a lot of people don't know that blacks and Hispanics were always working together in those scenes. Like Cesar Chavez is a huge, like, influence in Mexican culture, and the fact that he stood up for the people when nobody else would, you know, and obviously he rallied other people to stand up with them, you know, and the fact that he talked to Martin Luther King Jr. the same time the civil rights movement was going on, like, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's wildly, like, misinterpreted, you know? Like, the fact that, you know, that even happened, like, people are like, I still get things now where it's like, why do you stand up, you know, for Black Lives Matters when you're Hispanics? Like, we've always stood together. Like, this has gone back, like, years, like, way before that. Like, I've always believed to stand up with, like, those people.
For sure.
Like, it's the same thing what happened when Jewish people were persecuted in Nazi Germany, you know, or in Poland, or, like, during World War II. Like, little by little, somebody said this, and I forget who, and, like, forgive me for that. They said that, you know, first they took away, you know, the rights of these people. We didn't say anything. First they took the rights, right, these people away, and we didn't say anything. Then they took these people away. Pretty soon, they started to take us thing away, but there was no one to stand with us because they took everyone else away.
Right.
It's like, that's what's happening. Like, if you turn a blind eye to what's happening now, regardless of your race, you know, and those people are gone, like, you don't have that person to stand with you when you need the help. You know, it's like at work, if I have to move something off the top shelf, you know, and I go, hey, I need you to hold this ladder for me, you know, and they hold it, you know, and then when it's their turn, like, hey, I need you to hold this ladder. And you're like, no, I'm good. Like, they might not hold the ladder for you next time.
Right.
So when you go up, you're going to be like, this ladder's kind of shaky. I might actually fall. Where's my help? It's like, no, you treated them like shit. Like, they're not going to be there to support you for that next time that it happens. So if you do fall, you know, you have no one to blame but yourself. And everybody's going to go, well, why'd you climb the ladder by yourself? It's like, well, I did have help. I don't know what happened to it. Because of, like, the shit that you did beforehand.
Right.
You know, it's like simple analogies. There's one where it's like, okay, this house is burning. We got to go help them. It's like, well, what about my house? It's like, but this house needs help. It's like, well, what about my house? It might need help. Is your house burning? No. Then why are we focusing on your house right now? That house is literally on fire right now. It's like, there's, like, so many things that go into it. We can make so many analogies of, like, all of it. You know, I could make it for, like, any person that doesn't understand anything else but their, like, specific thing. So the fact that it goes from kids up to adults, the fact that it's a common thing, the fact that we're numb to it, you know, is a bigger issue than what it is. You know, and a lot of people are only seeing the top of the surface, and they're only seeing, like, what the news is putting out. That's fine. I get it, because that's all you know. It's like, but learn to be open and learn to ask questions, to listen, you know, and not to just, like, defend yourself. Because it's not about you. Like, this is the bigger picture. This isn't about me. This isn't about Kiwan. This isn't about you listeners. This is about, you know, our country as a whole. And if you want to say, like, make America great again, you know, when America was never great, it's a fact, you know, because it was only great for certain people at certain times. If you want to make America great, like, to the future, like, it starts with this step. This is step one of, like, a multitude of steps that's going to go...
Let's not butcher this either. We got... Everyone's gotten the attention that we need it. Like, because back in the day, we'll do a little protest and they're like, oh, they'll just look past us and not disregard it. At least we have different races out there trying to help this get afloat. You know, we need everyone. And it's not going to just be black because we've tried it just with blacks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to have to be everyone saying, fuck racists. We're going to make sure that everyone's on an equal playing field. That's all we ask for. It's just an equal playing field. And, like, just going back to the studies, African-American studies, there's one case I did not know about was the Black Wall Street. So mm-hmm. these black people built their own community. They had their own banks. They had their own stores. They had all that. They built it on their own, and they were making so much money. But the KKK or whoever decided to burn their whole thing down because they were losing money because these black people were not going to their stores. So they lost all that. And I did not know about that story until a year ago. That's something that people need to know about, especially black people. Like, we need a lot of positive things in the textbooks. Not about slavery. Slavery is super negative.
Not even positive. Like, just the truth of, like, what it is. Like, because that's, I mean, it's obviously an important thing that, like, needs to be talked about. Because it's not just black history. It's American history.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It, if you're born in the United States, that's your history. That's what it is. You know, like, whatever country you're born in, like, whatever country that you represent, you should learn about your country, right? Like, there's the Alamo, there's, like, the Gettysburg Address, you know, those are, like, the basic ones that everyone kind of learns about, you know. There's what happened, you know, we had Japanese concentration camps here, you know. We didn't murder people like we did, the Jews did, you know, but we took Japanese people and put them in concentration camps, you know. Like, we've done so much more. Like, the United States invaded Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Like, as a country. Like, Nicaragua's tiny. It's about, like, the size of, like, maybe, like, Texas.
Yeah.
You know? So, an entire country invading the size of Texas, you know? Mm-hmm. The U.S. lost that. Like, if you want to learn more about it, you can look it up. No one's talked about that. My grandpa told me that, and I was like, that didn't happen. I didn't read that in history books. He's like, look it up. Let's go to the library right now. Look it up. And I looked it up. I'm like, yep, there it is right there in a different book. You know, that's not a U.S. history book. Like, it's a different third-party book. There's so many things. Like, there's so many things that go into, like, U.S. history that isn't, like, portrayed in the schools because they don't want the U.S. to look bad. And the problem is, like, you need to show all your bad sides in order for us to grow as, like, a community. Because then what happens? History repeats itself. What are we doing? Like, the little girl that went to the school, the first, like, all-white school, the first little black girl,
She's,
like, what, 60? 60? Like, she's still alive?
Right.
Like, that's a generation.
Right.
Like, that's someone's grandma. Someone's grandma went to the first student to go to an all-white school to, like, break the color barrier. Like, she did that and she's still alive? That's a problem. We're repeating history in that.
Right.
Like, how do you think, like, we've gotten past it if these people are still alive?
Right.
Right? World War II, I'm pretty sure America went to go fight Nazism, which are fascists, like, which were racist, which killed, like, innocent people. Did we not? Like, what are we doing here? Like, somebody said, like, somebody said this, and it was like, punching a Nazi is, like, un-American because Nazis have a right to their voice. And I was like, punching a Nazi is the most American thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how else to explain that.
Right.
We literally had a world war over, like, fighting Nazis. Like, how are you defending a Nazi?
Right.
Captain America punched a Nazi. Right? Like, Indiana Jones punched the Nazi. Like, these are staple in, like, American pop culture. Like,
yeah.
You're telling me that it's un-American? Like, right. That doesn't make sense to
doesn't
me.
Doesn't make sense at all. Like,
so, you have a right to your opinion. You have a right to say whatever you want. The consequences that happen after that, you're on your own.
Right.
You know? If you go to Harlem, you know, and you cuss at every single black person there and you say the N-word, you have a right to that. What happens after that? Look, man, you put that on yourself.
They have the right to whoop your ass.
You know, you go to the barrios, you know, you go to L.A., you go to all that, and you start calling people spicks and beaners, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you have a right to that.
Absolutely.
What happens after that? Like, that's out of my hands.
Right.
You know, I'm going to say, hold on, he's got a right to say it. Now you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, that's out of my hands. You know, you have the right to say anything you want. It's a free country.
For sure.
You
know,
you have a right to do anything you want. You can kill a person in cold blood. Should you do it? No. Like,
no.
So, just to summarize everything, because it's tough because, like, I'm getting more and more heated about this.
Yeah.
Like, the more we go on.
We can do a part two.
I don't think we need to do a part two.
I know. Like, I was just saying
this. But, all right, to summarize all this, to the people now that are backtracking on stuff that they said when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, I need you to listen to your friends that are voicing their opinions, you know. I really want you to listen to, like, how you're voicing your opinions. Write it down, you know, and, like, openly discuss it with people. If you still, at the end of the day, feel that strongly about it, that's fine. That's your choice. I can't change you because you won't listen, you know. If you decide to change, like, that's fine. We'll still accept you because you decided to listen and change and you inquired and you asked, you know. That's different. That shows growth, you know. Same thing when you're learning how to do a math problem. You know, you might be making it wrong. You're like, this is the answer. And they go, actually, it's this answer. You know, like, there's no right or wrong way to go about it. But, you know, what you're saying, like, it's not the way because it's not working. Whatever it's happening right now. Like, whatever happened in the past, it's not working, so we need to change on how we do so.
For sure.
And that might start with you actually just sitting down and going, you know what? I know I said some racist stuff in the past, but I need to sit down and I need to talk with you and I need to listen to you so you can explain it right to me. You know, there's people that are willing to do that with you, you know? There might be some people that go, I'm not going to talk to a racist. Like, all right, fine, find someone else. 7 billion people in the world. I'm sure there's someone that wants to talk to you and help you,
right,
like, understand. To the people that are on this side, you know, and that are arguing and getting mad, like, I need you to stop, like, yelling so much and, like, go, okay, let me take a step back. I'm angry and I'm upset. I get that. Let me calm myself and let me explain to you on why I'm angry and upset, you know, because we're not going to get anywhere if everyone's screaming and yelling. Like, you guys heard in the podcast when, like, the volume gets loud and everyone talks, like, everyone's just trying to talk over each other and nothing gets solved, you know. That was only 4 people. Like, we're not talking about hundreds and thousands of millions of people.
Right.
You know, like, there's no right or, I don't have the answers to this. I can't explain on how to do this because this is the first time I'm experiencing this as a whole. Right. And so when it comes to your kids, you know, or people that you're influencing, like, you need to understand and you need to tell them, like, I may not have all the answers. I may not know what it's like. These are the people you can talk to. These are the people that you can experience, like, that conversations with. And you can make your own answers based off that. These are my views and these are how I view them. You know? And it doesn't matter, like, what your views are. Like, you need to state that these are my views and these are how I view them. These are my opinions. Like, my opinions do not matter to you. Right? My opinion about the Nuggets does not matter to Keywon.
Right.
My opinion of the Broncos does not matter to Keywon, right? Like, I have a different team I vote for. Obviously, like, they both play in the NFL, they both play in the NBA, you know, but, like, that's basically what this is. You know, you might be Democrat, you might be Republican, you might be a liberal, you might be, you know, third party, Green Party, like, whatever it is, you know, like, you need to say that these are my opinions do not affect you. But these are the credible sources that you can go talk to. You know, don't listen to your one side. Don't listen to like Fox News. Don't listen to ABC News. Don't listen to CNN. Like, find a third party independent news source that only spits facts. You know, InfoWars, maybe not the best choice for like, you know, for your news source. You know, there's chlorine turning the frogs gay. Like, all right, maybe not trust someone that's saying that, you know, but at the same time, like, you need to be open to listen to both sides. You know, because that's how conversations work.
Yeah.
Right? Conversation's a two-way street. Isn't that what we're taught as kids?
Absolutely.
It's the same thing. So when it comes to your kids and they're asking you questions, like, it's okay to say, I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. You know, let's go ask our neighbor Todd that we're friends with. Let's go ask, you know, our neighbor Jim, you know. Let's go ask Kiwan. Let's go ask Ahmed, you know, like, let's talk with them. Right. Maybe they can explain it better than I can. It's okay to say that.
Right.
You know, as a parent, you don't need to have the answers. You know, as a guardian, you don't need to have all the answers. That's why your kids go to school to learn. Like, in elementary school, I feel like those kids are there to learn their basic fundamental stuff. Reading, writing, math, and just making friends. When it comes to junior high, it's like, hey, you're almost an adult. We're going to bump up your studies a bit more. And these are new friends that you're going to experience. When it comes to high school, it's like, hey, this is your life before you get to that college or out of college life. You know, your studies, we're going to kind of bump them up. You can listen. You can choose not to listen. Doesn't really matter, you know, but I want you to focus more on like your interactions with people. When you're out of that, it's like, okay, you're an adult now. Now you need to experience the world outside of that bubble. Like, because that bubble life now, like the friends I made in high school, like the people I've made and the people I've met in high school aren't people I always talk with now. It's completely different.
Yeah.
You know, as someone that's 30, turning 31 soon, like I could say with this with the fact that I'm still friends with some of those people, but I'm not as close as I am to some of those people. And their views on things and their experience on things have changed the way they are and have made them the people that they are today. You know, it might coincide with, you know, how they were, but a lot of them has changed, you know. And that's, I guess, people that's worked with kids, like, that's what we're trying to teach these kids, like,
oh, for sure.
Like, feel open about things, be open to experience new things and talk to different people, you know. Like, you might not relate to me, but you can relate to that person, or you can relate to her, you can relate to, you know, old man Jenkins that's sitting in the corner that just wants to read a book every day, you know, like, whatever it is, like, just be open to things, you know. Like I said in the beginning, like, mistakes happen. You do mistakes. Like, I had a serious mistake that cost me, like, a lot. But that's not the end. You can make those changes and move forward, and you can, like, make yourself a better person, because that's all we're hoping for, is for just you to be a better person.
Right. Like, I totally agree.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't say anything weird on that?
No.
I know we rambled on for a bit. I know this one. I fucking ramble all the time. I'm a rambler. But like, it's true, because like, it's just a lot of stuff that like I feel like it's pent up and like it needs to be said in a certain way, and I can't always articulate it when it comes to typing things, you know. And I feel like the video sometimes, like, I tend to do too much. So when it comes to like recording like a podcast, like, this is a way to voice all those things, you know.
No, of course.
Like, is there anything else you want to add to this?
Oh, I think I'm good. I think I got my piece out about this situation and all that.
Yeah. And like I said, like, we might not have all the answers to it. So just, like, ask around, talk to other people, you know. The more people you talk to, the more you're going to find the answer that you need to hear. Not the answer that you're looking for, not the answer you want to hear, but the answer that you need to hear, you know. So I think that's it. Like awesome. I said, anything else? Nope.
Good.
So this will go up probably in another week. So this is, so protests happened last week.
Yes.
They're still going on. This is day 12, according to the news. Like, this will go on the following week of that, next Saturday. So that's when this episode will go up. What's probably going to happen is, in the middle of the week, I will throw up the other episode before that. So you guys are actually going to get two this week. You're going to get one with Akilah's first time being on the podcast, and then you'll get this one on Saturday at a normal time. And then from there, we'll go moving forward. I know we've been kind of lacking on it. There's a bunch of stuff. Like, I'm still unemployed. That's a different story for a different podcast. COVID has affected work life, you know, no surprise to anyone. And we're not on house arrest anymore, and I'm on probation. So that's where we're at.
That's a wrap.
All right.
Signing off.
Till then, catch you guys in the next one.